Well, it's certainly a joy for me to be able to be here today. I appreciate so very much the opportunity to be back with you again. We've been together a few times, and I've always appreciated you and your faith and your dedication. I thank the elders for inviting me to come, and I look forward to the few days that we have to be able to worship God together. As a theme for this week, we're going to be looking at the idea that is presented in John, the 7th chapter, in verse 46. And specifically in the ESV, the text says, "No one ever spoke like this man." I think everyone here is quite aware of the fact of who Jesus Christ is. He is the Son of God. And we believe in Him. We trust in Him. We obey Him. And it is in Him that we have life. Life eternal. Contextually, as you look at this particular passage in John chapter 7, because of the teachings of Jesus, because of the great multitudes that were coming to Him, the Jewish hierarchy became very envious. And they wanted to destroy Jesus. We learn in the text that, verse 32 of John 7, that the chief priests wanted Jesus arrested. They send out some officers to arrest Him. The officers, they hear Jesus teach and say some pretty amazing things. They come back to the chief priest and they're empty-handed. The chief priests want to know why they did not arrest Jesus. Thus, our theme statement, "No one ever spoke like this man." So this week, we're going to try as best we can to look at some amazing things that our Lord said and try our best in honoring God and worshiping Him and appreciating who He is to edify each one, to encourage each one to a greater service to our Lord. If you're here today and not a member of the Church of Christ, we're really glad that you're here. More than likely, some member here has invited you to come. Maybe you saw an advertisement, but you're here, and we thank you for coming. Hope you brought your Bibles. We're going to be looking at the Bible a lot today. So I hope you'll turn in your Bibles and study with us this morning. I'll have some notes on the board. You're welcome to them electronically or hard copy if you desire more to look at it closer. Be glad to sit down and talk to you about any things that we talk about. But we do appreciate your being here. And let's begin our study for today. So when we think about this idea of Jesus, this particular painting, there are a number of these paintings that are quite familiar. And some of you may even have one hanging in your house. Or you've seen one hanging in someone's house on the wall. And this is simply a picture that depicts the idea of what is stated in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. The text says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me." So in our first lesson this morning, we're going to introduce the idea that the Lord is standing at the door and He knocks. The emphasis, I think, from this passage and what we will study today is that Jesus is knocking at your heart door. He wants each of us to open the door that He might come in. So today we're going to emphasize in this lesson this idea of Jesus knocking on the door. And what we learn in Scripture is that Jesus calls to us through his gospel today. And there are a couple of passages that we could look at to emphasize that. But we find Jesus himself in John 6, verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." Now this passage would simply emphasize the fact that Jesus knocks on the door, and the way he knocks on the door is not some miraculous way, not some better felt than told way, not some mysterious from the clouds or in the woods way. He talks to us, he calls us, he knocks on the door through the Word of God. And this gospel that he has given unto us, Jesus calls us. Paul makes reference to that in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. "By the gospel we are called." You were called by the gospel. So the gospel of Jesus Christ that is recorded, this is recorded, it is Jesus knocking at the door of our hearts. He is calling us, wanting us to believe in him. So what we will strive to accomplish today is, what will your answer be? Will you answer that call? Will you respond to that knock on the door? Have you ever had someone knock on your door? Have you ever had someone ring the doorbell? Our house is situated to where if someone knocks on the door, you may or may not hear that. My wife is getting old and she doesn't hear very good anymore. And so I put a doorbell, we had a doorbell there, and that helps. But the doorbell is kind of one of them soft, kind of tender, ding, ding kind of things. And you may or may not hear it, you know, if the, you know, Kentucky basketball game is on real loud and we're beating Duke, you know, 100-3. And we're excited about that. I don't hear the doorbell. But then there's another problem. The doorbell has a little battery in it. And that battery lasts about 3 or 4 minutes. And you know, it goes out. So it's possible that you could come to my house and knock on the door, ring the doorbell, and I wouldn't answer it. Well, that might be disappointing, but let me tell you something. You don't hear the knock of our Lord, and you don't answer the door, you're going to be eternally disappointed. We search the scriptures and we find that there were some fishermen that answered and followed Jesus. You may recall back in the book of Mark, when Jesus begins his ministry, he starts searching for some men to help him. And in verse 16, "And as he was going along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And they immediately left their nets and followed him." Immediately started following him. We find that his brothers did not follow him at first. It's interesting that when the Bible records the idea that Jesus had some physical siblings, that they didn't believe in him. But after his resurrection, we find them in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, they are gathered together with the 120. And if we are correct, the Lord's brother, James, became a very prominent member in the Lord's church in the first century in Jerusalem. Well, if you might then notice that the Jews would reject him, though. They rejected him in John chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. And I will be turning to a number of passages. I hope you'll be able to do that as well. Just hang in there. John chapter 1, verses 9, beginning. The text says, "There was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. And he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. What would you think if you came to my house and you knocked on the door and I heard your knock? And I come to the door and I see that it's Jeff Smith. Jeff Smith has come to my house. He's knocked on the door. I've opened the door. And I look at Jeff Smith and I go, no way. And I shut the door. You think that might hurt Jeff's feelings? Jesus came and he knocked on the door of his own. I think that is a reference to the Jews themselves. And they did not receive him. How painful that must have been for our Lord. But we also find on a positive side that many did believe in him. And we find in this same context in John 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to him he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So we find that Jesus knocked on the hearts of many people, and there were many people that believed. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read each of these passages, but I think it's interesting that at least four times after this, we find the scripture saying, many believed him. Many. That's encouraging. That's great. Joseph believed in him. And Joseph was a man that we learn a little bit about in Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 50. And behold, a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council. Now, Joseph is said to be, in Matthew's account, a rich man. A member of the council, the text says in the book of Mark, that he was a prominent member of the council. A good and a righteous man. Verse 51, he had not consented to their plan and action. He was a part of the Sanhedrin. When they took a vote in regards to the Lord, he did not consent to that. A man from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was waiting for the kingdom of God. Matthew 27 says he was a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate. Mark's account says he gathered up courage. Joseph was a man who was a member of the Sanhedrin, the high Jewish court. The high Jewish court is the one that is after Jesus. When Jesus is put to death, it is Joseph who gathers up courage to make his discipleship known. And he asked for the body of Jesus, and he took down and wrapped it in linen cloth and laid it in a tomb. The text says in Matthew 27 that it was his own tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And no one had ever laying there. The text also says, and they rolled a great stone in front of the door. Nicodemus believed in him. Remember, he is the one that came to Jesus by night. Lots of debate about why he came to him at night. We don't really know in the text, but I think there might be at least some reasonable conclusion that he came to him by night because he too, a prominent member of the Sanhedrin, likened to Joseph, was secretly serving the Lord and believed in him. The text says there was a man, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. It seems that Nicodemus, though he came by night, and though he possibly was a secret disciple, like unto Joseph of Arimathea, he is a sincere man, and he says, we know that you have come from God. There's an example in the book of Matthew, chapter 22. We find an example of those leaders who come to Jesus who are not sincere. And in verse 15, then the Pharisees went and counseled together how they might trap him in what he said. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any. And the Holy Spirit records and says, tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not? Jesus perceived that their malice and said, why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Did you notice that Jesus did not say that to Nicodemus? So I reasoned that Nicodemus was sincere. And what he said to the Lord was true. In fact, Nicodemus almost got in big trouble. The very text that we began with in regards to the officers who were sent to arrest Jesus and come back empty-handed and said, no man ever spoke this way. We find in the text, beginning of verse 45, the officers therefore came to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to him, why did you not bring him? The officers answered, never did a man speak the way this man speaks. The Pharisees therefore answered them, you have not also been led astray, have you? No one of the rulers or Pharisees has believed in him, has he? Has he? Yes, they have. There's two of them, at least, right? But they don't know that. But this multitude which does not know the law is accursed. Nicodemus said to them, he who came to him before being one of them, our law does not judge a man unless it first hears from him and knows what he is doing, does it? They answered and said to him, you are not also from Galilee, are you? Search and see that no prophet arises out of Galilee. Well, these leaders knew that they were talking to Nicodemus, but they didn't realize Nicodemus is a secret believer, and these rulers lie through their teeth. Did y'all say that down here? Lie through your teeth. You know, Jonah and Nahum both were from Galilee. But they say that there was no prophet from Galilee. Who doesn't know the law? These religious leaders. Then in John chapter 19, verse 38, we find Nicodemus again. And after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate granted permission. He came, therefore, and took away his body. And Nicodemus came also, who had first come to him by night, bringing a mixture of myrrh and alloys, about 100 pounds weight, the New American Standard Version says. And so they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen wrappings with the spices as the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. Therefore, on account of the Jewish day of preparation, because the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. May I just say very gently, Joseph and Nicodemus came out of hiding. They were no longer secret disciples. The death of the Lord knocked on their hearts loudly. You see, they were already believers, but they were secret believers. They didn't let anybody know. You know the Samaritans believed in him? The Samaritans? The Samaritans believed in Jesus? Well, that's what John 4 is all about. Jesus meets with the woman at the well. That conversation goes really, really well. The Samaritans being enemies of the Jews. And maybe enemies is not exactly the right word. Let's see. The Jews hated the Samaritans. The Jews were very, very proud of their heritage, who they were. They were the chosen children of God. The Samaritans were not. Everything you would like to know about what not to be, look at the attitude of the Jews toward the Samaritans. Lots of prejudice. Jesus, to the surprise of his own disciples, spoke to this Samaritan woman. She was shocked that he even spoke to her. Well, you know that story, right? She runs into the city and she proclaims to the men there, could this possibly be the Christ, the one that told me all things about my life? They go, they listen. And the text says, they believe. Martha believed in him. In John, the 11th chapter, we find there that Martha, the sister of Lazarus, whom Jesus would raise from the dead. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary still sat in the house. Martha, therefore, said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Wow. What did she hear? What did she believe? Who did she hear that from? Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus is knocking. She said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Judas stopped believing in him. In Luke 22, we find that Judas Iscariot allowed the devil to come into his heart. In Luke 22, beginning in verse 3, the text says, and Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot, belonging to the number of the 12. Now, just stop for a moment to recall and remember, Judas was one of the 12. And he went away and discussed with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were delighted and agreed to give him money. And he consented. And he consented. And he consented. began seeking a good opportunity to betray him to them apart from the multitude. While he was still speaking, behold, a multitude came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was preceding them. And he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And he threw the pieces of silver into the sanctuary and departed. And he went away and hanged himself. There was a time when the knock was answered. And then he fell away. Pilate did not believe in him. Rather lengthy passage here we find in John the 18th chapter, beginning verse 33, as Jesus stands before Pilate. There are a number of questions, there are a number of answers. And at least three times in the John account, we find that Pilate says, "I find no guilt in him." Pilate even recognizes that the Jews, for envy, had delivered Jesus up. Pilate had every opportunity to believe. Jesus was knocking right at his heart. Jesus was right there. But Pilate's wife said, "Have nothing to do with this innocent man." Yet it is Pilate who delivered him. Be crucified. The centurion believed in him. Doesn't that seem a little odd? The very soldier who led others to crucify the Son of God believed in him? Well, when you read the text, you find that obviously, while he's leading Jesus to be crucified, he accomplishes his mission and crucifies Jesus. Notice the text. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split, and the tombs were opened, and many of the saints, bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion, those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Thomas believed in him. In John the 20th chapter, we find that early on, Thomas did not believe in him. But we read in the text, beginning in verse 24, Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I shall see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand to his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came
the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." And he said unto Thomas, "Reach here your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Blessed, or because you have seen me, have you believed. Blessed are those who did not see and yet believe." Do you believe in him? Jesus knocks on your door. Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you may have life in his name. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Truly, no one ever spoke like he spoke. So this morning, my guess is most of you believe in the Lord. What a wonderful, beautiful privilege it is to believe in the Lord. What a great blessing it is. But you know, there might be some that believe but are secret. You've never stepped out. Nobody knows. Because of fear. Because of doubt. You see, the Lord knocks. And it's you that must answer. Maybe you believe. And maybe you have stopped believing. You no longer believe with all your heart that he is the Son of God. Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins." Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned." Jesus said, "I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Jesus said, "If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven." Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Should I go on? What is Jesus doing? Knocking at the door. What will your answer be this morning? If we can help assist you in any way to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, won't you come as we stand and sing?